There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of it. Phone number, text line, same digits, 343-0106, 343-0106, and lots to do on today's show. We'll get into a story that was broken this morning by Rob Holbert from Landia. Well, he broke the news on the show when he was talking to Dalton and I in the 8 o'clock hour of Mobile Mornings, and now just one suitor for the Civic Center redevelopment project, and that suitor doesn't even have a plan that lives up to what the proposal was from the city. So we'll talk about that in a little bit and get you some of that audio. Also coming up this hour, ATF is saying some sheriffs in Alabama have been granting concealed carry permits to people without doing background checks, and this is a big deal because right now, the concealed, well, until this came out, your concealed carry permit would expedite, it was the Disney Fast Pass of a firearm purchaser's world. Right, it gave you a little bit of extra. You have to fill out forms. They have to do a NICS check when you buy a firearm. So I hear, when you buy a firearm. And so when you have a concealed carry permit, because you have extra vetting because of that concealed carry permit, you could move through certain parts of that were already done. At least they thought were already done, so you could move the process through faster with the check so you could get your next firearm. Well, because some sheriffs in the state of Alabama, at least according to ATF, have not been doing the proper background checks, then that's off the board in all 67 counties. We'll talk to Mobile County Sheriff's Office Captain Paul Birch in just a little bit more about that and how it applies to Mobile County, the rest of the state, and get some insight here. Also, the nature of these long-term concealed carry permits. You know, it used to be what, 4 years ago it changed? I think three or four years ago when it changed. It used to be every year. Every year you had to renew your concealed carry permit. Now you can do it for a year or 2 years or up to 5 years on those concealed carry permits. And what about somebody who has a clean record when they get the concealed carry permit? Then something happens and changes before the 5 years is up. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. That's on the way. And before we go any further, though, I have to do a couple things on my list. Things I just got to kind of somewhat rapid fire, things I want to clear through here. Number one, the story, if you think about Dr. Bill Williams, our staff meteorologist, has told us over the years that when one part of the globe is hotter than normal, one part is colder than normal. I mean, the older I get, every decade that goes by, yin and yang, I mean, I'm not getting the tattoo or the stick or anything, but the yin, the everything in balance, one reaction has opposite reaction. Those kind of things just prove themselves to be true. And Dr. Bill said, hey, when you see it, like Europe has a hotter than average summer than North America sometimes, or a part of Asia will have a cooler than average. Well, you see the story right now. Europe, they're baking, man. This is a... Can you imagine, Dalton, if you saw this, Paris, Gay Paris, 104 degrees. I don't think that was La Heat Index. I think that was La Regular Temperature, right? Sacre bleu. Hot there. So you have a heat wave in Europe. Can you imagine what it smells like? I'm just saying, and I'm sorry, Parisians that are here in Mobile, welcome to our city. We're glad you're here. Imagine what that smells like. Remember one summer being, it a hot summer in Europe and standing in a big line at Neuschwanstein Castle in Germany. And the smell. Okay, so, but guess what? Somewhere else in the world, it's cooler than normal. That would be part of it right here in Alabama. Set like 3 records last night for cool temps. We didn't set a record here, but it was down to 62, I think, in Mount Vernon, 68 at the airport here in Mobile. So, although the problem is that's going to be going away soon, says Dr. Bill, but we were cooler than normal. So just everything kind of in balance, the yin and yang of the world. Also, all the talk about the boycott of the state of Alabama. And I've seen AL.com run a couple stories about this. Individual businesses, and they don't know what to do about the boycott. And I'm really trying to see, among our clients here at FM Talk 106.5, among our business, people I know, friends of mine, how this abortion ban boycott has affected their business. And I have not seen, other than a few, stories they put up on AL.com for people that really were selling things out of state. I have not seen the dreaded impact that was laid out that was going to happen to our state. To the point, story out today, Alabama is, let's see, the new ranking. Here's the story from AL.com from William Thornton. Alabama has once again shown up on national ranking for states with top business climate. With the top business climate. National economic development publication, Business Facilities. Love that. Love that. Cannot wait. I'm usually standing by the mailbox there waiting for the new issue of Business Facilities come in. It's a hell of a read. Gave the state of Alabama a number 3 ranking on its business climate position here, as well as positions near the top in training, manufacturing, jobs potential, and the auto industry. Now, remember, there was going to be this huge backlash, right? Businesses were going to be leaving. The state would be left in economic ruin. It would be, you know, it'd be Greece in 2007, 3rd in the nation. In June, Area Development selected Alabama for its Gold Shovel Award for economic development activities. Alabama Commerce Secretary Greg Canfield said the rankings, quote, reflect the hard work that has gone into positioning Alabama for sustainable economic growth. He went on to say high-performing companies from around the globe are finding that Alabama can provide a welcoming business environment, a motivated workforce, and a support system that yields many advantages, end quote. Back to the story from AL.com, said Alabama came in 2nd for workforce training, 5th among top manufacturing states based on workforce concentration, 6th for the automotive manufacturing strength, and 4th for foreign trade zone export activity. Business Facilities magazine also listed Alabama, several Alabama cities in different categories of distinction. Birmingham Metro ranked 3rd for economic growth potential among mid-sized U.S. cities. Huntsville was 2nd, and Auburn Opelika was 5th in growth potential among small cities. Huntsville finished 3rd among STEM jobs leaders. Last year, companies announcing new facilities and expansion projects in Alabama totaled $8.7 billion in new capital investment. Okay, so just want to say, all the fear of the grand collapse here of the economy in Alabama because of the abortion ban, maybe it's a spurious correlation. Maybe it's not a causation, but sure is something worth talking about. All right, and we'll continue the conversation when we come back from the news break here. Paul Birch from the Mobile County Sheriff's Office is going to join us. We'll talk about this change here for concealed carry permits and how you can use them to expedite to Disney FastPass, the NICS check. That's changing because, at least according to ATF, some sheriffs in Alabama have been granting concealed carry permits to people without running the appropriate background checks. So that is something worth discussing, and we'll do it with a man that knows a lot about it. Paul Birch joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Good to see Mobile County Sheriff's Office Captain Paul Birch in the studio. Welcome back.
It's always good to be back.
And there's a lot to talk about here as this, and we're going to get into, I want to get into detail. That's why I'm glad you're here. Because the overall story is ATF comes in and says some sheriffs in Alabama were not doing background checks properly. Therefore, our concealed carry permits don't give us the expedited NICS process. Is that?
That's right. And basically what it's doing is just going back to the way it was prior to 2013. That 13 is when they started allowing the permit.
Oh, it has been. So it's been 6 years since that changed.
Yes.
And what? And I guess we do need to go back. 6 years ago, law changed, and there was something that I remember it was going from a may issue to a shall issue state. What does that mean? Why is that important?
Well, the May issue gave the sheriffs a lot more, leeway, because they know who their local criminals are.
And right.
Even though a person may not have a felony conviction, you know enough about their situation to know that's not the kind of person I need to issue a permit to.
Right.
And, the new shall issue has taken that power away from a local sheriff.
So that's been in effect 6 years?
No. No, that's something more recent. The fact that you could use a permit.
Okay, was preceded that.
Yes.
Okay, so there are two different things here at play.
Right.
So when the ATF comes in and they say, and I'm just reading, this is why it's good to have you in here, because just the news blurb says, ATF says, sheriffs were not conducting background checks properly or at all. What's your understanding of what ATF said? How do we put it in regular Sullivanese where I can get
reading it? The actual memo that came from ATF, it says after an audit and consulting with FBI who oversees the NICS check, that permits were being issued by some Alabama sheriffs is the way it was worded. And I can assure you, not by our sheriff.
It's not Mobile County.
Right.
Is it not? Right.
And they weren't including the NICS background or even a full NCIC criminal history check prior to issuing a permit.
Let's talk about that process as much as you can let folks know. So I came in, would get a concealed carry permit, right? I'm going to apply for it. How do you? What checks are done? How is that done?
We do a check through our local system, as well as a full criminal history and a NICS check. So that will tell us if you've had anything nationwide.
Because that's been an important thing, because there's been some tragic stories where, I'm thinking about that. Years ago, the guy in Louisiana went in the movie theater, shot up, and he was from Alabama, but it didn't show up in the Louisiana or something, or he had an issue in another state, but it didn't show up in the computer, and they issued him a concealed carry permit, and he shouldn't have had one.
Right. Yeah, and what happens a lot of times, too, especially with smaller agencies, there seems to be a delay in them getting a criminal disposition from a court case.
Okay, what does that mean, criminal disposition?
Let's just say you're in a little small county somewhere, and you go to court, you're convicted. Well, it may take a month or so before it shows up in the system as you having a conviction, where your more modern, bigger agencies or bigger jurisdictions are able to get that in the system right away, within a day or so.
Okay, so the person in this, so if they, these sheriffs, let's say these smaller counties, these smaller sheriff's offices, what ATF is saying is that they never ran those background checks like you would do here, or that they did it the wrong way, or?
The inference from the letter is that it wasn't done.
Just not done.
As part of the guidelines for issuing a permit. And the state code sets out how everything you're to do prior to issuing a permit.
That's a known thing. Sheriff's officers, I don't care if you're in a smaller county, they know that you're supposed to run the background check. That's known.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just pretty strict guidelines.
Right.
And as it should be. So when what they're asserting is that some agencies weren't doing the step-by-step process like you're supposed to, and there was some language in there that some convicted felons were issued permits, which is a public safety issue.
Big time public safety issue. And just joining us, talking to Captain Paul Birch and talking about this change, for people to understand, 67 counties of Alabama, sheriff in each county, the concealed carry permit comes through the county level. We've talked about this before. So imagine my frustration, because some county somewhere else, the sheriff's office doesn't do its job. Now it affects Mobile, right? It seems like it should be separate. It seems like because they're separate sheriff's departments. If whatever county it is, ABC County messes up, then yeah, ABC County loses its ability to issue right now. But why does it affect XYZ County?
You're right. You know, that's almost like why, you know, a teacher punishes the whole class.
Yes, I've been there before. I didn't like it.
nor did I.
I was like, that is not fair.
Yeah, I recall days in boot camp when
you didn't do it.
One person messes up, but everybody pays for it.
But that's kind of what's going on here.
It is, you know, but from a law enforcement perspective, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
I see the inconvenience of it.
And I guess it's worth describing to people what the convenience of it was. Somebody with a concealed carry permit goes into their local gun store. They're going to purchase a firearm. How does having that concealed carry permit change that experience?
You're in and out. They copy your permit. They make sure it's valid, check the dates and such. And you're in and out. You pay your money and you leave with your firearm. Where the next check... You know, I've seen it many times where they try to call, they can't, you know, they're put on hold or, you know, have to call back, and that person may or may not leave with that gun that day if they can't, you know, or be there for an hour, you know, before they can finish the next check. Where it really presents a problem, and I've seen this as well, is if you have a common name, and it may be days or weeks before you finally get the approval, you know, before they flesh out all these other names.
So that's why, I mean, that was the fast pass ability of the concealed carry permit.
Right.
You came in there, and because the idea being sheriff's offices have done the vetting, it's before they would issue that concealed carry permit, there's kind of the sheriff is kind of, in a way, maybe that's not the right word, vouching for you. Or, I mean, if they issue you a concealed carry permit, that's a reason for NICS to go, for them to say, okay, well, this person's gone through a higher level of scrutiny.
Right. You know, what NICS, when ATF agreed to the change, they looked at the guidelines set forth in the state code and said, this meets the standard.
Okay.
You know, and so we're able to use that in place of NICS. And, you know, because someone didn't do what they were supposed to do, you know, that all the counties are being punished for it.
Now, there's more nuance to it. You were getting into that, and that's what's interesting, because one of those changes that has happened over time, you know, it used to be a yearly renewal for your concealed carry permit, and had to each year either mail it in or go down, but it was yearly. Now it's, what, 1, 2, or 5 years?
Right. You know, and where I say I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, even a year, but certainly in 5 years, you know, people can have some major life changes. And let's just say, you know, you've got your permit, you know, you get into a serious domestic where there's a protection from abuse order placed on you and all that. I mean, you still got your permit. You can still continue to go buy guns and all that, and that goes unchecked.
I mean, somebody could somebody get, okay, here's a scenario. Somebody, violates law, gets arrested, gets convicted.
Yep.
Okay. Serves some kind of short. I'm trying to make this all happen within 5 years.
Right.
Y'all issue the concealed carry permit. They got a clean record. Everything's fine. They do something. They go through trial. They get convicted. They serve some period of time in prison and get out. Is that, would there be some way to flag that concealed carry permit, or would it still be they walk into a, I mean, is it still?
You know, unless it's a case that, you know, we, the sheriff's office, you know, are aware of, you know, we would automatically check to see if they have a permit. And, you know, that's something we routinely do,
right,
depending on the case, the type, the seriousness of the charge. And, you know, that, or unless another law enforcement agency thinks to notify us that, you know, this person did this and, you know, they have a permit, you know, we may not find out about it until the time they go to renew.
So, I mean, all within that 5 years' time, that could happen.
Absolutely.
Can you hold on over the break?
Sure.
Okay, run the news breaker. Coming right back, Captain Paul Birch, guest in the studio. Got a lot of questions coming for you on the text line. You talk about concealed carry permits, and immediately you're going to have questions here. So we'll get into it when we return. It's 12:30. We'll check in with Dr. Bill for the forecast, and we have news from Westwood One straight ahead.
Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Great to have Captain Paul Birch, Mobile County Sheriff's Office, in studio. And talking about this story, that it's good to have you in here, because I think it's tough in just a quick headline to get the full breadth of what's going on here with the ATF and this memo yesterday.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at the legs that it took, because, you know, again, it's just kind of going back to the way it was.
It's 2013.
Like
13, okay.
And so it's not like it was just a, you know, something out of the blue, mm-hmm. that, you know, some new law or anything. It's just resorting back to the way it was.
Yeah, I see some of the texters here saying things about this one. If a felony convicted person has a concealed carry permit, they could be in violation of parole or other suspended sentence.
The permit itself could certainly, you know, affect their parole or probation, but, you know, if they're caught with a gun, then, you know,
for sure
they're going to, you know, get some federal charges.
And this is something that, that's not even specific to this issue, but you and I have talked about before, that the criminals out there, I mean, how many people y'all arrest with a gun that are, what is it, person prohibited from firearm or something like that? I mean,
certain persons forbidden.
Okay, certain persons.
I mean, we do that weekly, and
right, you know, it's not an anomaly that the bad guy has already served time and can't have a gun and has a gun again.
It's not at all. They don't care what the law says or what the rules are. You know, that they've got their own agenda to, mm-hmm. whether it's to steal or use drugs or hold up banks. You know, they're going to have a gun if they want a gun.
And so this is one of these things that kind of affects, yeah, I mean, it's not a big change. Like you said, it goes back to 2013, but it does affect the citizen that obeys the laws.
It does, you know, and I can see where it is an inconvenience.
Right.
And again, especially for someone who has a common name, you know, like, mm-hmm. like a John Smith or, you know, James.
I'm sorry, John Smith's out there. That is.
So, I mean, you will, you know, expect to have to wait, you know, hours or days to get a background check
complete. And let me point out, so I think it's November 21st is a Saturday of rifle deer season in Alabama, so y'all get started here in October. Don't go, because you got to get sighted in as well, so don't say nobody told you. Could take a little longer. I want to talk about the two and five year windows as well, and you pointed that out before the break, that a lot could change in a life in 5 years. So somebody could still be in possession because it's been issued for 5 years, but the whole situation, like the day one, y'all pass the background check, they're fine. At some time in the future, they would not have passed the background check.
Right. You know, we're working a case right now. Fortunately, this person is not a permit holder, you know, but they have no criminal background otherwise. Had some life changes in their marriage. They've assaulted their wife multiple times. You know, now they're divorced. They continue to create problems. They got protection from abuse orders. A lot of that stuff, if they had a 5-year permit, you may not pick that up. You know, mm-hmm. so now they've decided, you know, to go get a gun or guns and can do that very easily with that permit, where, you know, if you go through a NICS check, it's going to show, you know, that they had those arrests, and I don't know if it...
There's some value to that.
Yeah,
real
absolutely.
Value.
And like I said, things just change with people sometimes.
Well, and that's another one. One of those, you know, protection orders, those are things I know they help, but if you have somebody... I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid here, but if you have somebody hell-bent to hurt somebody else, the order is just the order.
Exactly. It's a piece of paper that gives some teeth to law enforcement and the court system. I mean, it's not going to physically protect, you know, the victim in the case. You know, but what it does tell us when a victim comes to us and has one of those in place, we look at that particular case much more seriously, and you know, at times we'll have a close patrol and make more of an effort to get that guy picked up and locked up where the court system can deal with him.
Yeah, talking about guns used in crimes, and, you know, we've talked about this, I've talked about Chief Batiste, I've talked about with Sheriff Cochran, you know, the idea of people locking their vehicles up, you know, taking the guns inside, those kind of things. Has it been some impact here? Is this has the messaging worked?
There has. You know, Sheriff Cochran has said it many times, you know, in different settings. I know Chief Batiste has as well. They had some, you know, public safety, you know, messaging about it, and it seems to have made an impact. But we still seem to get cases, you know, periodically where guns were left in cars.
Yeah, I just wonder, too, the way, if there's demand, and I want them not to come from here. I'm with you. I'm all on board. I keep the messaging going. People lock your cars up. I mean, I think something the sheriff said to me, he said, you know, people who leave their car unlocked with the gun right feet from their front door. I mean, that should scare people into just, even if they didn't think, well, I don't have to do it, would you leave a gun sitting on your front porch?
Right. You know, and again, we just had a few auto burglaries week before last.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, some, from what we see, that it was juveniles involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a handgun taken from a car. So now you've got a gun in the hands of juveniles, which is just a recipe for disaster.
But those are sold, and that's what I was going to get to, is that I hope we get it. I'd love it to be zero stolen from vehicles around here. But the criminals have shown that they're going to find a way to get a gun.
They will.
I mean, they could steal them in some other place and bring them in or something, you know?
They will, you know, but they realize that an easy source right now are, you know, ones left in the cars.
Sure.
And you know, while we're talking about that, you know, I want to reach out to our fellow citizens in law enforcement in Baldwin County. We understand that they're getting hit pretty hard right now with guns left in cars. So, and it's probably some of the same offenders. Their sources have dried up here, so they've moved to another county.
You've talked to me about this before, so as a sheriff, that these are like organized gangs of people doing it. It's not just opportunity. It's like that's what they go do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're very organized. They you know, scope out an area before they go hit it, and they're in and they're out.
And guns are what I'm not saying they wouldn't take anything, but guns are what they're looking for.
They are, and what's even more dangerous, if you've seen some of the more recent video footage we've put up that from neighborhoods, you can see a gun in the hand of some of the offenders who are looking for guns. So they're prepared to do what they have to do confronted.
Somebody shot who came out to confront?
Yeah.
You know?
Tragically, yes.
This is and it's a situation where we could affect it a little bit at a time, or maybe a lot at a time. But the idea that that laws will keep the bad guys from getting guns, I mean, just goes against the nature of them being criminals. We can slow it down, but there will always be a bad guy that, if they want it badly enough, probably can get a gun.
That's very true. You know, and one thing I want to, you know, put out while we're talking about it is, you know, as citizens, we need to stay on top of our legislators, because, you know, stealing a gun, you know, having possession of a stolen gun, it's still a property crime. And
explain to people, wait till y'all hear this. Explain what that means.
I mean, you have to get caught multiple times and convicted before you serve a day in prison. Now, the flip side of that is, if you're already a convicted felon,
right? Different,
you know,
story.
Sheriff Cochran piloted the ICE program here, mm-hmm. where, you know, when he was the police chief, you know, if we and we have a 100%, you know, mandatory. That's what we do. If you're a convicted felon and we catch you with a gun, you're going to get charged federally. And the first time is typically 5 years. Second time is 10 years. So, and we're very aggressive in pursuing that.
And that's one of the things too that been discussed. There's so much of this is interconnected. Kevin Burch is like the push here, and I know the push will happen again. I'll have these folks on the show. I want to make sure all opinions are heard, but they want to do away with concealed carry permits. And the idea is, you come up to a vehicle. This is what the sheriff's offered before, and Chief Batiste too. You come up to a vehicle. There's a handgun there. There's a felon there. You got a pretty good suspicion that might be the person, but there's nothing that says that other person can't just say, "Nah, that's mine."
Absolutely.
There's no way for y'all to prove that. I get the person who just asked my gun.
Yeah, and from a law enforcement perspective, it's you know, we've got one of the highest number of officers killed this year than we've had, you know, countrywide or nationwide, you know, than we've had in many, many years. And doing away with the ability to, you know, run background checks and you know, issue permits, I think that would only increase.
On the idea of keeping those guns secured, we've talked about this before, too, the getting the information. I'm going to say, if I may or may not have a gun, but if I did have one or two, I may or may not have done a good job of writing down serial numbers and taking pictures and all the stuff you're supposed to do. Your insurance people say, take a picture of all the stuff and video and all the stuff. That has changed since I found out how important that is to investigations, that having that for me to be able to say, if it was stolen, my home was broken, there's a, you know, it's here it is, it's, you know, it's a, maybe a SIG that has this serial number, whatever. That's important.
Absolutely, especially if you ever have any hopes of recovering your
right.
gun.
Well, know. There's that too. But I mean, it also helps, I guess, in y'all putting breadcrumbs together in an investigation.
Absolutely, and, you know, and I don't want to get into specifics.
Right,
but that has been extremely helpful in some of the more serious cases we've had over the last few years. And again, it takes 1 second to take a picture of the serial number.
I know. It took some.
And I was not always that great about it, but I have gone back and done it. You know. That's a couple years ago, and so now I do have all that in order. You know, hope I never need it, but
I know that's the that's what rainy weekend days are good for, when you can't go do anything. You may or may not lay off your firearms.
As long as your wife don't have a list of things for you.
But you just put it on the list, Paul. You just put it on the list. Hey, and looking at a couple more texts here, but I do want to talk about you talking about the property crime. The change though is. It used to be, right until just recently, that the gun's value, it made no difference it was a gun, right? So if somebody stole a gun, and that's, say this individual handgun has a value of $500 or whatever it is, it would be no different than if they had stolen a $500 television, right?
Well, the theft of a firearm has always been a felony, regardless of the value. What has changed when they did some of this restructuring of sentencing, they made the possession of a stolen firearm, just the possession of a stolen firearm.
Right.
You may not have been the one that stole it. That went changed to the value of the gun.
Okay, I got you.
So, you know, there was a big push, you know, from sheriff's office as well as the city to get some legislation changing that to now where the possession of a stolen firearm, regardless of value, is now a felony. And
what do you tell people there on that? Tell you what, I'm up. Can you hang on one
sure.
more segment? All right, we'll come right back because they're going to holler at me. I'm late for the news break. Go to the news break. We'll come right back. Captain Paul Birch, our guest in studio right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:52, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Paul Birch from the Mobile County Sheriff's Office in studio. Going to ask a couple more questions here and get some answers, but heads up here, friends at Harry's telling us about the always the right time to get involved with Harry's. Join the 10 million of us who've already started shaving with Harry's. This deal right now is if you've been on the fence, which gets you splinters in your backside, but get off the fence and make your move now because this is the best deal I've seen yet from Harry's. Join the 10 million of us who've tried Harry's and now get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3. Plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. This summer, take advantage of this deal. It is fantastic. I mean, if you just, for the price of one of the big, like the 24-ounce Diet Cokes, you got the Harry's. You got the whole set, and then you can see if it's worth sticking around. So this summer, give Harry's a try. Special offer for y'all. New customers, y'all get $5 off the trial set from Harry's when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. All right, Harry's.com. Use code MOBILE. Continuing this conversation with Captain of the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, Paul Birch. And this was good because, and I see people on the text line said, thanks for clarification on that, because I needed a little clarification. The way I was picturing it, it was something about the total amount for the first-time offender. But this is about getting somebody who has a stolen... It's sentencing, right? It's something that comes into play there.
It is, because, you know, chances are, you know, if it's the person's first offense, they're probably not going to get any prison time. They'll get, you know, felony probation, and then they have that felony conviction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you're looking for, is, you know, little teeth.
Okay.
And, you know, so then they go out and reoffend. You know, they're now a convicted felon. We catch them with a gun again. Then they face the federal charges, and you know, they will do prison, either state, federal, or both.
You know, somebody's going to ask this question before I even go look at the text line. What if I've got a gun in my possession that I purchased from somebody, right? And for some reason, y'all have some reason to see it, or whatever happens. You know, comes in, y'all run the serial numbers on it. It's a stolen gun. But I bought it from Bob, you know, my neighbor down there.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, common sense does come into play most of the time. You know, if we... You know, you tell us, hey, I bought it from, you know, whoever and paid this amount for it, and it's a fair market value for what you would expect that gun to cost. You know, we're going to look into it a little further. You know, you're not going to be charged for making a mistake, you know, that an honest mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, chances are we're going to have to seize the gun and return it to the rightful owner, because what happens when you run a stolen gun, you know, it gives you the agency that it was stolen out of, and, you know, the case number, and, you know, the victim that reported it stolen. So, you know, they'll be glad to see their gun returned, and you know, it'll go back to the rightful owner, and then you will just have to deal with the person that you purchased it from, unless it's somebody who's, you know, already on our radar, and then that may be something we deal with.
And that process to get, you know, you're talking about the people stealing the guns out of vehicles and elsewhere. Process that gets, because they can't use, they're bad guys themselves. You pointed out they're going to steal guns with a gun in their hand, but they can't carry all the guns. They're selling them.
Absolutely. They're selling them. You know, there's some organization as to what they're doing. You know, they're, you know, either gangs, you know, locally, or they're ultimately going out of town. You know, guns are much easier to come by in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
do you think there's movement of guns that are stolen here up to the Midwest and Northeast and all that?
I do, simply because they're easier to get here, and they're a lot harder to get, you know, in other places. But obviously, the criminals there, Chicago, for instance.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's a hard place to get guns, but
it's
they
as
sure
violent
have a lot
it,
of them.
Yeah. So some of the things people need to know now is, the process for going and buying a new firearm is going to be slowed down now with this ATF memo.
Yeah, don't go there thinking you're going to be in and out in 10 minutes. I mean, you
still have the concealed carry permit. It still applies as a concealed carry permit, but this fast pass, and that's not the term, that's mine, that's all on me.
But that's a reasonable way to explain it. So
that process is not, when I go in and I say, here you go, when they say, hey, Sean, I need your CCP, they're not going to say that anymore.
They're going to hand it back to you. So, you know, we don't need that.
Did ATF say that could ever change back? Can we get back on the good list? Or
they didn't say one way or the other than it was to stop immediately. So
they didn't say. But if these things change,
that's not what the letter said.
Okay. See, this is law enforcement. He's saying I'm telling you what it said, not what it might. Right. So, yep. So just wait and see.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, as always, for what you do for us here in Mobile County, and thanks for being on the show.
Always good to be here.
All right, Captain Paul Birch. Coming back next hour, you heard a little bit of it this morning. It was an announcement that I was talking about this with Rob Holbert from Landyap, when he said Sterling Properties had pulled out as one of the developers pitching for the Mobile Civic Center remake, remodel, takeover, leaving just one, the Cordish Company, which, if you look through the documents here, the Cordish Company doesn't actually have a plan that suits what the city had asked for. My question is, are we back at zero with this? We'll talk about this. Dale Leish from Land Yap joins us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll check in with news and weather, and then back to you.